You're listening to a message from Victory Fort Bonifacio. Get the latest updates by visiting victoryfort.org or like us on facebook.com/victoryfort.
We're continuing on and we're leaving off what we did last week. It's not about the money, it's about the heart. And you remember, if you were here last Sunday, that we used the song by Jesse J that had over 280 million downloads that everybody sings. If those of you are joining us for the first time, it's that song that goes ka-ching, ka-ching, ba-bling, ba-bling, which is swept the world, basically. And we took that and said that it is really not about the money, it's about the heart. And our text last Sunday was out of Matthew chapter 6, where it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So this idea that it's really not about money, it's really about our hearts. Money is a useful thing. I don't know if you know, we all need money. I was explaining to the earlier service that the history of money did not begin until after the Greeks arrived. Prior to that, money was not the staple currency. The way money was utilized, or the way you exchange goods with people, was you did that through barter and trading. In other words, if you had agricultural produce, vegetables, for example, and somebody had livestock, what you did was you exchanged your livestock for the vegetables, and that's how people got along. Now, as time progressed, their people would make furniture and trade that and barter that. But the Greeks, who basically created this idea of civilization, found a way to make that simpler. And what they did was they minted coins. And through a process of stamping, they could now produce this currency that was universal. And so now I don't have to be a farmer to trade my agricultural produce with you and get your beef. What happens now is I can just earn money as a teacher. Hence, you've got the philosophers and you have the artists and different kinds of people who are able to do different things because now they had a currency by which they could exchange and they could buy the goods that they wanted. All that to say that it's really not about the money. It's about the heart. Long before money existed, there was a spirit that involved money. Now, last week we talked about spiritual cardiology and the keys. And I bring this up with you because I think it's necessary for you to listen to that to appreciate the fullness of what I'm about to say today. I normally don't do that, but I think these two messages dovetail each other. And I want to talk to you about the spirit behind money. It's not about the money, it's about the heart. That was last week. Today it's not about the money, it's about the spirit behind money or the spirit. Now, back in Matthew 6, verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters." The idea of serving, the idea of being subject to something or someone. And he talks about this idea of two masters. Now, this concept is not the way we understand masters. When I was in grade school in Ateneo, we were trained to call each other Master Joey or something like that. It was a different connotation. But this whole idea of master here is subservience. Somebody was a slave and somebody was a master. And he was explaining how this spiritual thing worked. He said, either you hate one or love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. He says that in the very next verse. Or rather, in the same verse, in the second half of that verse. I want to clarify something for you. In the original text in the Aramaic, that word money is not money. In the current text, if they used the word that they used then, it would not make sense to you. But I think it's necessary for you to understand what that word is. That word is actually the word mammon. Okay, it's actually not money, it's mammon. Now, Jesus was speaking about a spirit. He was not talking about physical coins, physical paper, currencies that you exchange. He was talking about the spirit of mammon, the spirit of greed. The word mammon actually originated from the Babylonians. This idea that if I had a lot of these resources or all these wealth, I had the power over people. I could create subservience. I could turn you into servants because I've got the power, the resources, and the wealth to make you do stuff. That's the discussion. That was the conversation. This idea of a spirit. And for us to be able to unpack mammon, I've got to give you a short, brief course on how spirits work. For you to be able to subdue and overcome and not be deceived by the spirit of mammon, it's important for me to lay a word foundation for you in understanding how spirits work. And so if you want to understand this particular segment, it's not about the money, it's about the spirit. Now the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, our struggle, we wrestle not, the King James says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're not really fighting against things that we see. We're not really fighting against people. He says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, this idea of masters, of authorities. In fact, he uses in the same verse against the authorities, the people who have the capacity to enslave you. But he's saying they're not flesh and blood. Is everybody following so far? He's unpacking this idea of the spirit. It says against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces. There's that word spiritual. He's saying you're really not fighting against people, entities, and institutions. You're fighting against powers of this dark world. He's talking about spiritual forces. And notice it doesn't say power or spirits. It says spiritual forces. It's always plural. Rulers, authorities. There's not one single entity, but rather a horde of entities involved. I need you to get this so that when I talk to you about mammon, you understand what's at play, what's happening. So it's not just the spirit, it's actually spirits. Now, further, it says this in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus himself said this. Then it goes and takes, he's talking about a guy who had a spirit in him, and the spirit had been cast out. Then he says, now then there goes this, then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits. It's interesting, isn't it? It's like these spirits travel in hordes. They're not one entity. For instance, if you had the spirit of greed or the spirit of mammon, it typically lends to other spirits. If I had the money and the resources, I probably will have a spirit of oppression. I'll probably oppress people or take advantage of people. If I can afford certain things, I probably will have a spirit of lust. I'll probably have a spirit. In other words, it lends to other things. And Jesus was saying, one spirit comes into you, it actually invites seven others. They will be following. And that's why it's important to understand that. It's not just about money. It's about a spiritual force that money brings, this spirit of mammon. Money itself is not bad. That's actually good. How many of you women know you need money to buy clothes? And you need makeup. How many of you know the world will not be the same without makeup? It'd be a different world. And so we need money. But what we're addressing is the spirit behind it. And he's talking about these wicked forces, more wicked than itself. It's a wicked thing. It looks like a harmless thing. That's the funny thing about spirits. It looks like something that's not really harmful, but in the end, it plays out to do something that's very harmful. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, he's further on, says, the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That's what happens when a spirit prevails upon you or takes over you. Now, this is a very, very short list of spirits that the Bible enumerates for us, but I need you to see this so that when I explain to you the spirit of mammon, you understand this is not an isolated case. This is rather a theme of the Bible. The Bible is a spiritual book. It's not just an intellectual book. The Bible is a spiritual book, and it explains to us how spirits work. Now, the Bible tells us that there are such things as deceiving spirits. The role of these guys is to deceive you, to cause you to think and thwart your thinking from right thinking to wrong thinking. Bible talks about spirits that are evil spirits. Bible, if you go and type spirits in your Bible or in your electronic Bible, you'll be amazed. You'll be there for a week studying different kinds of spirits. The Bible alludes to what they call seducing spirits, spirits that seduce you and cause you to do things that you don't want to do. The Bible talks about impure spirits. In fact, that's one spirit that is enumerated numerous times in the Bible, spirits that are impure. It talks about the spirit of fear. It talks about the spirit of infirmity. When you notice certain people have a spirit of infirmity, they're always sick for whatever reason, and yet sometimes you check and there's nothing wrong with them. It's a spiritual battle. if they're convinced that this is something wrong with them, if someone that's influencing them to believe that. Same with the spirit of mammon. And then there's the spirit of drunkenness. And then the spirit of dizziness, the spirit of prostitution, the spirit of violence, the spirit of necromancy. Everybody heard of the spirit of necromancy? The Bible talks about that. The spirit of necromancy is a familiar spirit. It talks about spirits that are familiar to you. They're used to you. They know your family's habits. They know how to attack you. Now, Mark chapter 6 says this, and this is where I balance this off. I don't want you to get weird and think, okay, everybody's a spirit now. That's not the point of this. I want you to be aware of that, but I don't want you to go out of here and start looking at spirits all over under your bed and everywhere. It says, calling the 12, this is Jesus again, he began to send them two by two and he gave them authority over the impure spirits. He's saying that as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you and I have authority over these impure spirits. You actually have the capacity and the ability to fight, to bind, and to cast out these things. Everybody following? The same authority to do that with mammon. Mammon is a spirit, and we're going to get there in a while. I need to lay this foundation so you understand. He says, he sends them and gave them authority, but here's what he says. However, everybody say however. He says, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. In other words, this is not something that you rejoice over. Oh, okay, I can cast out a spirit. This is not a game. It's a revelation. It's a truth. He says, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, the whole point that you need to understand is that you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You understand how the spirit world works. And so that these things do not enslave you. They do not become the master over you, if you will. Now, point number one is test the spirit. You got to test the spirit. You ever wondered, you see, when I counsel people in this church, I'll sit down with a guy who's got a master's degree in business, some of them with a doctorate degree, brilliant people. All of a sudden, they're telling me how they lost millions of pesos because somebody invited them to a bogus business deal. Are you following? Don't raise your hand. Some of you are here. You're brilliant. You're smart. You know what you're doing, but for some reason, you fell for the deception. And you took your money and invested it. And you know what it is? And you wonder why you do that. So many people fall for that. It's spiritual. It's a deception. What made you do that? Because how many of you know you cannot educate greed? Greed's a spirit. What made people do such things is not the enough. You know, somebody presented, you earn 5% every month in this investment. How many of you know that 60% every year? How many of you know that is not possible? But why is it that even though we know it's not possible, we still invest? Why? Because it's no longer about money. It's about the what? The spirit. It's a spirit. So you got to test the spirit. It's not just money. Now, here's what 1 John 4:1 says. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. In other words, be careful when you deal with spirits. And sometimes it happens in churches. It happens among Christians. It says, be careful that you do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. This is what I'm going to help you test the spirit so that when you get out of here, you've got the right heart from last week's message. You understand I've got the right heart towards money, but I'm dealing with a spirit here. It's a spiritual force I'm dealing with. It's not just money. People following still? No one's lost? To see whether they are from God. In other words, some spirits are not from God. You got to see. Now, John chapter 4, verse 13, Job, this is a picture. You might have experienced this. This is a picture Job is describing how you might actually encounter a spirit. I remember years ago, I had a son who couldn't take a bath in the dark. He couldn't take a bath alone. He had to have the lights on. He had to have the door open. He couldn't sleep. He was always afraid. There was this spirit of fear on him. And he was growing up and he was fast becoming a teenager. And finally he said, why is he always scared? And I challenged the spirit. I said, here's what I need you to do. On the day, one particular day when no one's at home, close all the lights, don't switch on the lights, and lie in your bed for an hour. And wait for the moo-moo to show up. Wait for him to come out of the under the bed and grab your foot. How many of you, you know, when you wake up at night and you're getting out of the bed, the moo-moo might get my foot. I actually did this to him. And after 1 hour, if the moo-moo doesn't show up, you should be convinced there is no such thing. And he actually did it. The problem was, he got delivered from the spirit of fear and he became overly brave. Because that's not the way spirits work. The spirits are actually tiny little spirits that magnify themselves and make themselves bigger than they really are. And you keep falling for it by watching all these weird movies. Hello? And then you're wondering, why am I always afraid? You got a spirit of fear. Got it? I don't know if you ever experienced what Job experienced. Amid disquieting dreams in the night, here's Job describing you lying down and you're about to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. You're walking out amid this and a quiet night when deep sleep falls on people and fear and trembling seized me. Here's fear out of nowhere and all my bones shook. You follow? Anybody experience this? You're sleeping, you wake up, you get out of the bed, you're very quiet, and all of a sudden you hear something or a cat or a dog or something fell from the bookshelf, and all of a sudden, moo moo. Following? A spirit glided past my face, and the hair on my body stood on end. He felt it. He never saw it. How many of you feel these things? Spiritual forces, they're real. Don't get weird. Realize they're real. I'm going to teach you how to fight them. I'm going to teach you how to win. I'm going to teach you how to master the spirit of mammon and not be mastered by the spirit of mammon. I'm going to teach you how to master every kind of spirit. Now expose the spirit. Spirits are demon forces, okay? They're evil. Here's how they work. Don't ever be afraid of spirits. Spirits can't kill you. If they could kill you, they would have killed you months ago. If a spirit could kill you, he would have pushed you down the stairway years ago. The fact is he can't, and that's why he keeps producing all these movies to make you even more scared. And you keep buying it and giving him more money so he can produce more movies to lie more to you. If you're a visitor here and you were brought by somebody, could you just tell him I love him? I mean, just tell him he's not like this every week. There's certain weeks he is. And this is important for you. For some of you, this is going to be a life changer. When you understand the realm of the spirit, you've got to expose the spirit. A spirit does really not have a lot of power other than temptation. The power of a spirit is to tempt you. For instance, if you got a spirit can't lift your hand and manipulate your hand so you can go into a pornographic website. How many of you know a spirit does not move you and push you and lift you up and glide you and commit adultery? You know what I'm saying? It's not how this works. It doesn't move you around so you can spend all the money. You did that because you fell for his temptation. And I'm exposing it to you. We fall for his lousiest and stupidest temptations. If you do this, you're going to be great. If you have that, you're going to be great. And we keep falling for the temptation when the simple reality is just say no. I don't have time for your nonsense. I've got better things to do than believe you. People following here. When you fall for something, here's a lie. If I had all the money in the world, I'll never have problems. If you believe that lie, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be a slave to money because you're going to want to have all the money in the world. I'm going to look good if I have an iPhone. 5S and 5H and whatever. in five colors. As if I have 5 ears. It's a deception. When you fall for the temptation, the power of the Spirit is not because he can manipulate you. He's actually deceiving you. That's the next stage. He deceives you. When you've gone from temptation and you've fallen for it, every time he tempts you and you say yes to it, you're increasing his authority over you to deceive you. That's how he does it. That's Adam and Eve. He tempted them, he believed them, and that progressed on. The deception got bigger and bigger and bigger. It's not just about disobedience now. You are God. That's why you don't want to even get close to temptation, because once you get in there, it goes to the next step and the next step and the next step. And the next thing you know, you're not just deceived, you're accusing each other. When you get there, you're in trouble. The minute you hear accusation, that's a troubled spot. When Adam said to God, it was you who gave me Eve. It was the woman that you gave me. That's an accusation. Whenever you hear that, that's the height of demonic activity. Whenever you hear someone accuse the church, accuse this pastor, accuse that, accuse your own wife. The reason why, and guys, I'm preaching to me here, okay? Whenever I say to my wife, you know what? The reason why we don't have money is because you spend too much money. I'm accusing my wife. Hello? What happened? You're all guilty of what I just did. Or when the wife says, there's not enough money, honey. You know, I thank God for my wife. I've not heard that once in 31 years. And it was not because we always had money. Because she understood this. It's accusation. Once that happens, be careful. You ever wondered why you're talking about money and bills and then you end up fighting? It's a spirit. And you got to expose it. My wife was just saying, he's preaching to himself now. I am. And the only way you're going to fight a spirit is you to expose it. The only power a spirit has over you is when you're in darkness. When you're in darkness, the spirit can slap you around and you can't do anything about it. The way you fight a spirit is you go into the light and you expose it for what it is. It's a lie. Money is a great tool but a bad master. You don't want to be a slave to it. We'll show you in a while how to deal with that. It's actually the easy part. This is what you need to understand. How to discern, how to expose it, and how to deal with how it works. This is the way every fear works this way. He'll tempt you. Watch the alien. Okay, watch Alien 2. Watch Alien 3. Watch Alien 4. Watch Alien 16. And then you're wondering, why is my kid always scared? Why does he look like an alien? You've allowed him to be deceived. I remember years ago when my kids were young, most of you know, my youngest is 27. And I read a book called Manna from Hollywood. And I said, and the opening statement basically said, do you want your kids to, would you let a murderer in your house? Would you let a pervert in your house? And he said, basically, when you open the TV and leave your child alone there, that's what you've done. And you're flooding him with spirits and you're not even aware that it's happening. And you're wondering why he thinks that way, because you allowed it. Hello? Why is my daughter so materialistic? Hello? Go to the bathroom and look at the mirror. It's mommy. I love you. No, I really do. I mean, why would I do this? Who wants to be everybody's dislike? I don't like you, don't like you. You're on Facebook, I don't like you, like you. When accusation happens, the next stage is slavery. You just think that way. It's a familiar spirit. The Bible talks about familiar spirit. They're familiar with you. You ever wondered why certain families had a familiar spirit? They walk that way. You look at them and they all look alike. It's not just genetics. It's not just natural. That's spiritual. When you hear your father say, you know what? Lahit tayo ng mga asmatiko. Oo nga. down the line, everybody was fine until of course, there's natural things to it. The way you eat, the way you sleep, the thing you do, where you're exposed. That's the reason why it all happens to you, because you live in the same house. And add the spiritual component to you and keep reminding you, yeah, you're going to all die that way. Yay! Why are certain families guilty of adultery from great-grandfather all the way? Why is this happening to us? What kind of a family are we? Familiar spirit. Those guys know exactly how to deal with you. You weren't born yet, and they're waiting there at the operating room. Wait till this guy comes out. I'm going to show him exactly. And that's why reading your Bible, praying, being discipled is important. That's why church consumption doesn't work. That's why just coming to church and hearing this thing and leaving, it doesn't work. Because it's a spiritual world, folks. It really is. It's not about money. It's about your heart. It's about the spirit. This is how it works. Now back to the spirit of mammon. Now it's easy to unpack the spirit of mammon. The spirit of mammon is basically greed. It's just, I'm going to get as much as I can, because if I have this, I won't have any problem. It's a lie. How many of you know if you had all the money in the world to get married, but you don't have a bride, you have a problem? But how many of you know if you have faith to believe God for a bride, you have faith to believe God for money? Some of you are not convinced. Some of you are convinced, if I only had the money, I'll have all the girls. Yes, and you're going to have the wrong girls. They're going to love you for the wrong spirit and the wrong reason. And you're going to end up like that Chinese guy that married this Chinese girl and now is suing her because she's producing ugly babies for him. Because it was never about love, it was about deception. The girl had herself made up, not realizing when you have babies, they're not going to look like they got plastic surgery, they're going to look like the real thing. Are you here? It's more to life than just material possession, folks. It's more to life than just the surface level, it's just about money. If you unpack the greed, is the spirit of mammon. And that's the spirit of mammon is produced poverty. These are actually twin brothers. It's one of those spirits that invites one and lets the door open for the other. They come in pairs. That's why you don't want this. You make sure you see these spirits long before they get in your house. There's a big difference with your enemy ringing your doorbell and you're looking at him and saying, welcome, Mr. Spirit of Lust. Open the door and boom, and hit him in the forehead and he's dead. He tempted you, he didn't get in. Ding, ding. Spirit of fear. I'm not letting you in. Deception happens when you open the doors. Come in, fear. Talk to my children. Sleep here. Spirit of anger, come in. Why you need to be discipled. Why you need to be around Christians. And that's just not about fear. I'm not afraid. I go to places that are, they'll scare some people. It's not that. The point is you can tell the spirit you're dealing with. Okay? Now the spirit of greed would say something like this. I want more. The spirit of greed says, I want more. I want more. I want more. It's not enough. The spirit of poverty will say something like this. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I'm poor. Fact is, if you replace one with the other, the spirit of greed will say, I don't have enough, that's why I want more. The spirit of power will say, I want more. It's the same thing. It's a spiritual issue. Until you break that pattern of mindset, the way you think, those guys are just going to keep leading you and deceiving you and leading you and deceiving you and leading you and deceiving you. The next thing you know, you're lying so you can make more money. Cheating so you can make more money. Next thing you're taking shortcuts so you can take more money. You're being deceived. His power was not because he pushed you into it. You fell for his tricks. Spiritual warfare. Spiritual game. It's not weird. It's very simple. When you see it, know. Do you honestly think I don't see these things myself? I do. But every time I see them, I say, no. I don't need you in my house. Now, show you this video. Sorry, I was going to show you this video, the summary of my message, and we're going to try and land this. This video is interesting because it talks about the greatest in history, American history at the time in 2002, winnings on lottery. Biggest one, $340 million. At the beginning, it's the CNN. CNN is reporting what I just told you. I'm going to show you how the news explains what I just told you. Where you get one spirit in, and the next thing you know, all kinds of spirits are there already. And it explains to you how this thing works and the reasonings of people. In fact, the first part of it is good, and I'm going to come back and watch this video, and then I'll come back.
This is the stuff of dreams.
I'd probably buy my wife a new car.
I'd be able to pay off my student loan.
Retire, most definitely.
$500 million before taxes. That's how much you can win in the Powerball jackpot. If you win, you can buy a lot of stuff. But what about happiness? Well, it turns out those cliches, money can't buy you happiness, money doesn't make the man, a fool and his money are easily parted, there's some truth to them.
I think Henry Ford said it really, really well. He said that money doesn't change a person, it simply unmasks them. And I think that really is what happens. So people have an opportunity to do all the things that they dreamed of, and sometimes those are good things and sometimes they're not.
Christmas 2002, Jack Whitaker of West Virginia had the only winning ticket in the $314 million lottery jackpot. 2 years later, his wife said that she wishes she had torn up the ticket. Their lives in shambles. Their 17-year-old granddaughter was dead after struggling with a drug addiction. Whitaker faced multiple lawsuits and was arrested twice for drunken driving. Abraham Shakespeare, Florida, was murdered after winning $31 million. Then there's Amanda Clayton, a young mother who won $1 million in the Michigan lottery. She made headlines when she continued to collect food stamps. She was found dead of an apparent drug overdose. Are these winners just unlucky, or is there something more? Psychologist Aldwyn Tartt says big payouts can isolate people, thrust them into a world of wealth that is foreign to them. Long-lost family members may hound them. There's a guilt factor, who to help out and who not to. And there's a funny thing about money and happiness you may not realize.
You win the lottery, and so you spend a lot of money. And what happens is you get used to having a lot of money and spending a lot of money. So what happens is you actually have to spend more money to get the same level of happiness.
You know, I wish you could explain this with just psychology. Unfortunately, it's not. And that's why it will never go away, because it's spiritual. And when we deal with the spirit, we address the spirit in our lives. We drive it out of us. By the way, there's a lot of different spirits out there, believe it or not. I mean, the Bible says all of them. A lack of self-control, there's spirits of gluttony, there's spirits, lying spirits, deceitful spirits, violent spirits, murders, all kinds. And they just walk through you because you've not arrived at that place of exposing the truth. Now, how do you overcome the spirit? Is this as complicated as it really is? It isn't. It's exposing the truth. It's discerning them. It's don't let them in. It's a big difference when you have the enemy ringing your doorbell and you don't let him in and saying, leave, I don't want you in my house. There's a big difference when you let him in. It changes the dynamic. You don't want to get from temptation to deception. You want to make sure. That's why you got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You got to expose the spirit. It's spirit that reveals spirit. It's the spirit of God that illuminates. The Holy Spirit is light. It's not about the money. It's about the spirit. And we reap these things generations from now. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God did not give us the spirit of fear. By the way, the spirit of fear is probably one of the major roots of every demonic spirit there is. When Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil and God confronted them, you know the first words out of Adam's mouth? When he said, "Where are you?" You know what he said? "I was afraid." Fear. The spirit of fear. When you disconnect yourself from putting your absolute trust in God, you're going to have the spirit of fear. And once you have the spirit of fear, he's now able to put you on any level of anything you could think of. One spirit inviting seven others. Hello? I don't care how long you've been a Christian. How many of you know there are pastors who look at internet sites that they should not look at? Are you still with me? Why are there priests that are doing pedophilia? Why is this happening? Because it's not a religious game, it's a spiritual game. You're still here. And we pass these spirits, and we're wondering, why is there so much chaos? It's not just about wealth. You know what? If you could break the spirit of mammon in your life with your talent, your gifting, if you were called by God to make a lot of money, you're probably going to make 10 times more money. Because God's looking for people who could set free so that he could use for more money. But if you're strapped with all of that and all you could think of is, "I want to make more money so I can have this. I want to make more so I can have this." God has no issue with letting. I have phones. It's not as if I don't have an iPad. But I'm not living for that. I'm not a slave to my iPhone. He is a slave to me. I tell him what to do. He doesn't tell me what to do. I put a Bible in my iPhone. You following? The spirit of fear. God says, "I didn't give you that. I gave you the spirit of power." You've got a power to overcome this. You've got to first understand that God is more powerful than any spirit of fear, that your greatest fear. By the way, the dumb thing about the spirit of fear is, probably 80%, if not in my own experience, after 56 years of living, the things that I worry about, 80% of them never happen. It's like that moo-moo thing. It doesn't happen. It's not worth having the spirit of fear. You're better off having the Holy Spirit. Focus on the Holy Spirit. I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I gave you the spirit of power and love to know that God's not just powerful. He loves me. He's always going to be there for me. Get that revelation deep down, dug in your soul. So that every time the spirit of fear comes knocking, you look at him and say, no, you do not have power to go through this door. And besides, I don't need you because God loves me. But the third one, it says, is self-discipline. That if you really, 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 really believe that God had the power and that God loved me, then I've got to have the self-discipline to say no. This guy's not going to carry my hand to move me around. I can't go around blaming the spirits. That's what Eve did. You know what Eve did when God said, "Did you eat of the tree?" You know what he said? She said, "The devil made me do it. The devil deceived me." She was right, but you became a party to that deception. So don't let the spirit of mammon deceive you. It's not the answer to all your problems. Let me land this. Romans chapter 6, Paul explains to the people, he says, "I'm using an example for everyday life because of your human limitations." In other words, we're talking about spiritual warfare here, but I'm using examples of masters and slaves because I know you can't understand it. So I need you to understand how this master-slave thingy works. Just as you need to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity, he's talking about how you end up being enslaved to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. He's talking about how you become slaves to that, and the wickedness increases. So now offer yourselves as slaves to the righteousness leading to holiness. He says, don't go there. Don't let that enslave you. Don't let that filthy spirit go run to the Holy Spirit. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. If I consciously know that I'm dealing with spirits and I'm running to God and appropriating what he has done for me, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. that in Christ Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit. I can discern, I can expose, I can say no to sin. The grace of God allows me to say no to sin and ungodliness. I have the power of God, the love of God, the ability to control my life. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close with a word of prayer? Just bow your heads, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I just want to ask the worship team to come up. Can you look up here for a minute? Whenever I think of spiritual warfare, I always think about the Jews. 400 years of slavery. Every morning they woke up, they were told, you're slaves. You're not getting out of here. You're going to get whipped. You're going to make bricks. And you're just going to be slaves. You're going to keep building these pyramids for the rest of your life. And one day God said, I'm done with that. Setting these guys free. And he sends this guy, Moses, one guy. Can you imagine one guy to overcome the entire army of the most powerful nation in the world at the time? And you know the rest of the story. The Spirit of God comes. The entire thing gets messed up. Talk about storms and disasters. God's resetting everything in the nation. And just the day before they left, they were instructed, just go to your neighbor and ask for gold. They didn't grow it. They didn't raise it. They didn't do anything. But you know why? Before God gave them the gold, he had to set them free from the spirit of poverty. He had to set them free from the spirit of being a slave. Because he knew that if they had that money, it wouldn't last. It's the same thing for you and me. Many times we're saying, God, give me the money. Give me the money. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Give it to me, Lord. I can do it. And God's saying, no, 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 no. You don't get it. You got to understand how this works. When you get that, I have a problem supplying you the money. You can ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And if it takes time, just wait. It's going to come. More importantly, I want to break that spirit on you. I want to deliver you. I want to set you free. Amen? Bow your heads, close your eyes, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If you're here this afternoon, you're saying, God, this is the day. This is the day I'm going to expose the spirit of mammon in my life that has controlled me for generations, my parents, my nation. Look up here one more time. You're Pinoys, like me. It's not going to happen. Just when it's about to break out, no, it's not going to happen. How many times has that happened? We're just about to break up. No, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Lahi tayo na mga mahihirap. Hindi mangyayari. It's a mindset. It's a mindset that keeps thinking this will never end. It may take generations of people to transform this nation through discipleship. It will happen once that mindset is gone. Amen? And folks, as I've said to you last week, this generation is where it is because the previous generation did not see it. If this generation sees the next generation and says, I'm not living that way anymore, then we're going to pass on to the next generation, the right spirit. Amen? If you're here this afternoon and you're saying, God, I want to be free from the spirit of mammon, would you just lift up both your hands as we pray here? Jesus, we're exposing, we're discerning, we're lifting up to you, Lord, our hands in faith, believing that this day is the day that you're breaking the spirit of mammon in our lives. No greed and no poverty. But the truth that our God lives is able to supply everything we need through his glorious riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, I pray that regardless of how long it takes, regardless of whether the challenges are, regardless of the situation we face, even this calamity in the Visayas, we will rise up by the Spirit of the living God. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would seal this truth in our hearts this day. And Father, as we walk out of here, give us the spirit of discernment. Give us the power and the love and the self-discipline to say no to sin and ungodliness and walk in the righteousness of our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Jesus said when the spirit is cast out, he's going to come back. He's going to keep trying to come back. And every time he comes back, you take that word and says, no, you're staying out. No fear. Amen. Father, I pray for your people, your victory be upon them all the days of their lives. And I pray, Father, even beginning today, they would see with eyes of discernment, power, love, and self-discipline. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen.